Will the latest housing numbers tell the story of a market rebound?
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. There's a growing sense among economists that the housing market has finally hit bottom. Home prices and home sales have been stabilizing in many places. Well, later this morning, we'll see if fresh numbers on new home construction help to paint this picture of a rebound in the housing market. Marketplace's Mark Garrison has more.
Yes, this is the bottom of the housing market. Richard Green will come right out and say it. The director of USC's Lusk Center for Real Estate points to two key factors.
First, the lack of inventory. The second thing is, in many markets around the country, it's cheaper to own a house now than it is to rent it if you can get a mortgage.
Experts like Green may say this is the end of the slide, but what about those on the front lines of the market? Veteran Charleston, South Carolina real estate broker Judy Tarleton agreed once I managed to grab her on her mobile phone between showing homes.
All of a sudden, we're seeing two or three offers on the same property. And when you see that happen, you know your market is changing.
Hitting the bottom is better than falling, but it's still the bottom. What about home prices actually moving up? Eric Belsky is with Harvard's Joint Center for Housing Studies.
It's not going to be a strong recovery until we see some stronger growth in jobs.
And the job market is a whole other story. I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
Well, let's get to that job story. There's a new report out today that's got one explanation for why companies aren't hiring the people they want to hire. A visa program to bring in the best and the brightest from around the world is capped and doesn't account for the economic geography of America. Marketplace's Scott Tong is with us live from Washington to explain. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, what job sectors are we talking about in this study?
Well, Jeremy, you have heard about the STEM occupations, right? Science,
sure.
Technology, engineering, math. American companies and universities, they want the best in the world. So this visa program is called H-1B that lets in a certain number of these highly skilled workers into the U.S. We're talking mostly computer experts, mostly from India and China. And demand almost always exceeds supply. There's a cap on these visas. And today, the folks at the Brookings Institution issue a report that looks at this supply-demand mismatch, not just around the country, but city by city, Jeremy.
And do we have a sense of what they've found at the Brookings Institution?
Well, a few not-so-surprises. Lots of demand from Silicon Valley, duh, right?
Yeah.
But also some smaller academic places like Ann Arbor, Michigan, Durham, North Carolina request a lot of these visas. And Neil Ruiz at Brookings notes a couple areas that have big companies that you might not have thought much about.
In Columbus, Indiana, as well as Peoria, Illinois, a very high share of their requests for H-1B visas are in science, technology, engineering, and math. In the heartland of America, there's a need for high-skilled workers in American manufacturing.
So one point the report makes, Jeremy, is when employers hire these workers, they pay money into a pot. But that pot money doesn't always get recycled into these emerging high-tech cities.
Marketplace's Scott Tong in Washington. Thanks a lot.
All right. You're welcome.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed across Europe and Asia this morning, down 1% in Hong Kong, up 0.25% right now in London. Corn prices are at 13-month highs after analysts further slashed their forecast for the corn harvest yesterday because of the drought in the Midwest. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 78 points to close at 12,805.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
India has lost its ranking as the country with the most upbeat consumers. That's according to the global information company Nielsen, which says Indonesia now holds the top spot on the list. It's more bad economic news for India, which has been hurt particularly hard by the European debt crisis. It wasn't long ago that many thought India's growth rates could surpass those of its longtime rival, China. But as Christopher Worth reports, China retains the upper hand in that relationship, thanks in part to its exports.
Chinese goods are flooding into India. If you want an example, just look at toys.
Doggy. Bunny.
At this children's store in Mumbai, owner Kareem Rishpurohit scans a row of teddy bears and plastic robots. He takes down a toy dog. It's a hot item among kids in India right now, but...
We're to China. All product made in China. The China product is low quality.
Low quality and much less expensive than almost anything India makes. The Indian government is worried about its large and growing trade deficit with China, and it accuses it of dumping cheap goods onto the Indian market. Arvind Subramanian is with the Peterson Institute in Washington. He says the same complaints U.S. politicians make about Chinese imports can now be heard in India, too.
I'm told now what's really making Indians nervous is saris, silk saris are coming from China. You know, talk about displacing, you know, symbols of Indian culture.
And potentially displacing Indian jobs. That's the fear anyway, with India adding about 12 million new people to its workforce every year. Barry Bosworth is an expert on China and India at the Brookings Institution. He says India would like to sell more of its goods and services to China.
But India doesn't have much that China wants, to be blunt.
What China does want is raw materials. So India sends iron ore to China, and China hands back finished products, like battery-operated dolls. Michael Kugelman follows Asia at the Wilson Center. He says toys are just a tiny part of what China sends to India. It also sends essential items like ships and equipment for power plants, all things India needs to keep its economy humming along.
These are things that are pretty important in their own right for India's development and its growth, not to take away from the utility of toys.
Which is why, with India's economy slowing, he says the country should welcome the flood of Chinese goods. I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
And that story came to us with the help of the International Reporting Project in Washington, D.C. Finally, United Airlines usually makes its frequent flyers spend upwards of 100,000 miles on a first-class round-trip ticket to Hong Kong. But thanks to a computer glitch this week, some lucky travelers were able to buy that ticket for just 4 miles and $40. United says it won't honor the tickets, but according to USA Today, new Transportation Department rules stipulate airlines cannot raise the prices on tickets after they've been purchased and must honor them, even if the price was a mistake. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.